Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is a text that you did not hear this evening. It is a text that describes to us very vividly what your Lord Jesus has done for you. Isaiah 52, beginning at verse 13. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that went before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. It is he who has put him to grief. With his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the song of the fourth servant and the text for this evening's sermon. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it is pronounced kol in Hebrew. In Greek, it's pronounced pas. It's omnis in Latin, alles in German, todos in Spanish, and in Texas, it's pronounced y'all. What is it? A-L-L, all. All siblings are total, complete, entire, and everything. All's country cousins are the whole shebang and the whole enchilada. All is the most excellent word for the most unmatched section of the Old Testament, the fourth servant song of Isaiah, which you have just heard read. And what you hear in the servant song is that he had it all. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. The Hebrew verbs that Isaiah used, raised and lifted up, are used to describe only one other person in the whole book of Isaiah. And it's that king whom Isaiah sees in chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and lifted up. The Lord receives the cry of the seraphim, "Holy, holy, holy." In verse 5, the prophet calls him the King, the Lord of hosts, the servant, and the Lord, the King, are one and the same. This is a mystery. Yes, this is a mystery not fully expressed until Jesus says in John chapter 10, I and the Father are one. You see, this servant truly had it all. And he would need it. Because the fourth servant song, written by Isaiah in the 8th century, was originally intended for 6th century exiles who were singing another song. Their song was from Psalm 137. How can we sing the song of Zion while in a foreign land? They were in captivity in Babylon because of their addiction. Their addiction to sin, their adultery committed against Yahweh. You and I are aware of addictions. I know that you know someone addicted to someone or something that will ultimately hurt them very deeply or even kill them. Yet, you and I are addicted also. We are addicted to sin, just like the Israelites. We become obsessed with another's husband or wife. Anger? Taking what's not ours? Spreading malicious gossip delightfully? Wanting what our neighbor has? Then, my dear friends, we make ourselves to be God, with a lowercase g, by the way. You and I are certainly poor, miserable sinners. Then we too find ourselves exiled, in bondage. In a very ironic way, we join Israel, singing our depressing, deadly lament. How can we sing the songs of Zion while in a foreign land? To such captives, Isaiah sings a different song. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Yes, he had it all. You see, my dear friends, Jesus isn't an assistant God. He isn't the vice God of the cosmos. Jesus isn't a junior partner with the Father. No, he is the full-fledged member of the Holy Trinity, of the Godhead, equal with the Father in every way. From eternity past, even now today. When you and I confess the Nicene Creed, we confess Jesus as being of one substance with the Father. This servant had it all because this servant is God. Therefore, this servant gave all. Isaiah 53 continues with the words that you may remember. He was stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Pierced, crushed, punished, led like a lamb to the slaughter, cut off from the land of the living, assigned a grave with the wicked. That's why Isaiah writes, many were appalled at him. His appearance was disfigured beyond that of any man. This servant gave all. Every last drop of his holy precious blood, the very last breath of his most holy body, he gave for you. And since he gave, this servant delivers it all. Isaiah states, by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. The servant delivers what captives needed most, what you need most, what I need most, what Jonathan needs most, forgiveness. Forgiveness is the heart of Isaiah's own experience. Remember chapter 6? Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. From this holy altar, we know as the cross, there at Golgotha, our God touches you with his blood bought forgiveness. Holy absolution declares it to you. The font seals it for you. The table celebrates it. St. Paul declares to each and every one of us, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. All, total, complete, everything, the whole enchilada, the whole shebang. Jesus had it all. Jesus gave it all. Jesus delivered it all because it is his Father's plan. It was his Father's plan that he do this. And it was the Father's plan that he save each and every one of you. Dearest loved ones of Christ Jesus, Good Friday is not just a moving tragedy. It's not a funeral service for Jesus. It was never a stopgap measure, nor was it the Father's unexpected knee-jerk reaction to a world plummeting to hell, which, by the way, it is. Nor was it not the plan of God all along. It was God's will. The cross was drawn into the original blueprint, we could say, written into the very first script. Golgotha is the decisive plan of the Father, even before the creation of the world. Therefore, we as good Lutherans can ask that classic Lutheran question, what does that mean? It means Jesus purposely planted the tree of which his cross was hewn. It means that Jesus placed Judas Iscariot into the womb of his mother. It means that he was the one who set into motion the political apparatus that sent a man named Pontius Pilate to a God-forsaken province in the Roman Empire called Judea, and an evil king named Herod Antipas to Jerusalem on a Passover. And that Passover was the Passover that Jesus died for you and me. You see, it also means that Jesus didn't have to do this, but he did it. He did it for each and every one of you. Thanks be to Jesus. My friends, your song, your deadly, depressing song, has now been trumped by Isaiah's song that imparts forgiveness, freedom, divine mercy. When the words of the fourth servant song enter your ears and strikes your heart, we can't but help respond with the words of one more song. And oh, as we close this song isn't found in Isaiah. No, this song is found in your hymnal. It's hymn 175. It's the fourth verse. And this song was written by Isaac Watts. The fourth verse reads, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Thanks be to Jesus that he gave his all for you and for me, for the forgiveness of all our sins. And my friends, your sins are forgiven because of what Jesus has done for you. And in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, your sin is forgiven, paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Amen.